The it's good to be here again today.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'd like to say from the outset that this won't be a short message. Primarily because I'm owed 10 minutes from the last message that was in the bank that I'd get a chance to use. So I'm going to take liberty to take that 10 minutes today, and we pray to God that something will be said that will bless you. The text is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I guess we have our designated reader. It's going to be Elder Liverman today. And I guess we'll start from in the Greek text, Elder Liverman, 2 Timothy chapter 1 through 7.
2 Timothy chapter 2?
Chapter 2.
Verse
2
1
Timothy
through
chapter
7.
2. Verses 1 through 7.
Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Thou therefore, child of me, be empowered by the grace in Christ Jesus, and what things thou heardest from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men, who competent will be also others to teach. Suffer ill with as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one soldiering is involved with the of life affairs, in order that the having enlisted he may be pleased. And if he also wrestles anyone not he is crowned, unless lawfully he wrestles. Verse 6. The laboring husbandman, it behooves firstly of the fruits to partake. Consider what I say, for we'll give you the Lord, understanding in all things.
And I just like to say that first part about long message and parts old was just a little tidbit that I didn't mean anything about that. So I went back getting wrong, get the wrong idea. But the text, let's go into the message now. Because the message is about Christ and not about me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Thank God.
The text that we've just read was written by the Apostle Paul. It's very touching in its mood, in that it conveys some parting advice to his son Timothy in the faith. At this time, Paul was facing the chopping block at Nero's, and it was written to his son Timothy in the ministry. It is somber, yet positive. It conveys a message of what is to be expected of him as his son in the ministry as Paul passes off the scene.
Amen.
And what to expect in being his son. Verse 1 has the word therefore. And if therefore is there, then something must be something important. So we're going to go back to chapter 1 here and take a look at a few things that we can see.
Amen.
Pertains to the text that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul points out that to the Apostle Paul points out that he was an apostle by the will of God, that was no part of his own, but he was called by the will of God, which speaks of the sovereignty of God. I am that I am what I am because of the sovereignty of God. Nothing that I brought to the table, or nothing that any of us brought to the table, we are what we are by the will of God. And that's, of course, lets us know that it's by his mercy that he saves us, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, and his grace that he saves us, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. In verse 2 there, he says that to Timothy, his beloved, dearly beloved son, and mercy and truth from God, which we just stated from the book of Titus and the book of Ephesians. He says in verse 3 that he prays for him day and night. And the Bible lets us know in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we should pray without ceasing. We should always be offering prayers to the Lord.
Thank God. Yes.
Because it's privileged communication between us and God. And the things that we have on our mind, we can convey them to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It might not be necessarily God's will to answer them the way we see them, but we have the right to give him our prayers.
Amen.
It's privileged communication.
Yes.
And he talks in verse 5 and 6 about the godly grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And he tells there about them that in the King James Version he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith as in thee, which was first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and her mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. I can relate to that because my grandmother, Ada Prowl, used to sit me down and I used to sit on her lap. And she used to read the Bible to me. Some of you probably had the same experience in your life. And she would read the Bible to me, and I would ask questions, and she would answer as best as she could. And it really touched my heart that she loved me so much that almost every night that she would bring me up and sit me on her lap and talk to me about the Bible. And I was so inquisitive that when my mother would come and pick me up, in the summer, after the summer was over, she said, that boy's going to be a preacher one day. You mark my words. And I just loved to hear her read the Bible to me. And my mom, thank God for her, she was a person who really, really loved the Lord. And my dad did too, but my mother really loved the Lord. I'm just giving you some background here as we go into the scripture here. But, you know, without a good mom and a good grandmother and good heritage, you know, I don't know where I would have been. Because my mom and my grandmother, I can well relate to this, how they touched me by giving me the word over and over. And it was no idea about whether I was going to go to church or not. I was going to church whether I like it or not. Amen. I was going to Sunday school, whether I like it or not. So I thank God for that, so I can relate to that. And some of you probably can do the same thing. In verse 7, he talks about the God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And we can relate to that because in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, 16, and 17, and I'd like for Elder Liberman to read that for me, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, 16, and 17. In the Greek.
Romans chapter 8.
Just a minute, Deacon. Let me get there. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Ella.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 15th verse. For ye receive not a spirit of slavery again to fear.
We shouldn't fear anybody but God. Go ahead.
But ye receive a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father.
And as privileged communication because he is our Father. Go ahead.
It saith the Spirit witnesses with the Spirit of us that we are children of God.
And that I don't know where the pastor is as far as God is concerned, but I know what God has done for me. I don't know where Deacon Gavin is or Elder Liverman, but I know that God's Spirit speaks to me. Because I believe by their testimony that they're saved, but I know in my heart how God speaks to me. And go ahead.
Amen. Verse 17. And if children also heirs on one hand of God, joint heirs on the other hand of Christ.
Stop right there. And you know, if we really knew who we were, we probably wouldn't act the big a fool as we do in church. We're heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And would to God that we could see that. Go ahead.
Since we suffer with him in order also that we may be glorified with him.
Okay, thank you. So, we'll say a lot about suffering later on in the message here. Okay? But we should have, in the Greek tells us, you know, self-control. Verse 8, he says that don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me. We should not be ashamed of our faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people, for many reasons, are ashamed that they are a part of the body of Christ. That's what you call situation ethics. It's time when we proclaim Christ, we're in the midst of our brothers and sisters, but on the job, what we'll do is, well, we don't want to speak up too much because we'll offend somebody. But you know, you should be proud of the fact that you are part of the body of Christ, and your testimony should be that you should be the same way all of the time, not just sometime. In Colossians chapter 1, I'd like for you to go to that with me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Ella, would you go there with me, please? Colossians 1:24.
Colossians chapter 1,
verse 24.
Beginning with the 24th verse. Now I rejoice in the sufferings on behalf of you, and fill up the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ in the flesh of me on behalf of the body of him, which is the church.
Now I rejoice. Paul says he rejoiced in the sufferings. Amen.
Thank God. Yes.
On behalf of you, and fill up the things lacking of the afflictions.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, it's not popular to go into Paul's messages because he uses dire circumstances most of the time and let us know what it cost him to be a Christian. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear about how much money was in our pocket, how good the life is and everything. But Paul says he rejoiced, amen, in the sufferings. On the behalf of you, and to fill up the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ in the flesh, of me on behalf of the body of him, which is the church. So Paul knew what the situation was, and the longer he was in it, the more he was beat, kicked, robbed, stomped, and everything else. But he always rejoiced. in effect. He was suffering for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Would to God that we would have that kind of feeling for the Lord. Paul, he says here that back here that we says he says here that in verse, and just be patient with me, I'm coming now. So he says, be not ashamed of the testimony. So he says here of the blood, shouldn't be ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't forget that Paul had a thorn in his flesh that was not removed. Amen. And he asked three times for it to be removed, but it wasn't. Paul was hungry most of the time. Talks about fastings. Those are fastings that Paul was, he didn't have any food. He didn't have a place to stay. He was a tent builder. He was beaten many times. And I won't go to it now, but for your reference there, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 through 6, 4, 5, and 6, and 2 Corinthians chapter 23, chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. Our calling is for his purpose, as before the foundation of the world. In verse 10, he talks about the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how he abolished death for life and immortality through the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
Then in verse 11, he tells that he was a preacher, which in the Greek says he was herald, another word for a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles.
Numbers.
Then in verse 12, he says about how much he suffered. He wasn't ashamed in who he believed.
Yes, Lord.
And he never did have any kind of sorrow about putting that back, anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he says in verse 13, that whole form the sound of words which thou hast heard from me,
yeah,
in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Then in verse 15, which was something that I really did when I was going through the message here, I was doing the message. In verse 15 says, thou knowest that they which are in Asia, that are in Asia, be turned away from me. You see, when you do that good for people and everything, and you've seen it, the more, the better you try to treat people in this world, the harder they are against you. Paul gave everything he could, but in Asia, they all turned away from him. Okay, of whom was Phygelius and Hermogenes. Amen. But he kept on, and but we have, that was bad. But I thank God for verse 16, as we get ready to go into our message now. The house of Onesiphorus, they often refreshed Paul. He wasn't ashamed of him being in chains, and he often sought out Paul when he was in Rome to give him the word of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that. Somebody's always there for you when you're going through the worst.
Amen.
And I remember that when I sent the pastor a card one time, and I sent him a little note. He says that was a note that really did encourage me.
Right.
Somebody's always there to encourage you when the things are going the worst in your life. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And now I want to go into the text.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go here now to the text and the thing that I want to see.
Thank you, Lord.
Man.
Come on with me. Hallelujah.
He says here in verse 1 that be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we see in, and then he says that he wants you to be strong in grace. Don't be ashamed of the grace of God. Amen. And then he says in verse 2 there, all of the things that I have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which are able to teach others also. Well, what would he want us to commit? What did he want Tim to commit? Well, first of all, he wanted him to commit the grace gospel.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Not the gospel of the kingdom.
No.
Amen. Not the prosperity message.
Right.
Not all these other messages that we see. But he wanted him to give the message of the grace of God.
Amen.
As God had given it to him, he wanted him to give it to Timothy to give it to the others. Yes. Commit faithful, and other thing, faithful men. Because a lot of people get the message, and then there's something else will sound good, and they will leave the message and go give something else. Give it to faithful men, that which I committed to you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
then you commit to faithful men.
That's right.
We've got too many people now have a namby-pamby message. The message is of grace.
Right.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Glory to God.
Take yourself out of the message and put God in the message. It's all about God and nothing about you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Commit it to faithful men. How many men have gotten the message and they went another way? Amen. The church had the message for 1,000 years. And I'm not going to mention the denomination because we're not into that. But it had the message for 1,000 years and sat on it. And nobody knew anything about it until Martin Luther came along. God called Martin Luther. And Martin Luther got the message of grace that had been hid for 1,000 years. Amen. And then, now we have the grace of God from Martin Luther and it's come down through the centuries now. And now, you know what? Now, grace is not even preached anymore.
Numbers.
Now it's gone back to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they really never left it, but what he wants you to do is commit it to faithful men.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And if we could just get that, if we could just get the grace of God where it was preached over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then when grace is preached, then you're out of the question.
Ow.
Amen.
Ow.
When the grace of God is preached, you know we're in the message.
Uh-huh.
It's all about Christ.
All about
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see that, when you're preaching grace, you don't preach denomination.
All right.
When you preach grace, you don't preach tongues.
All right.
When you preach grace, you don't preach baptisms.
All right.
When you preach real grace, you don't preach prosperity.
Right.
You preach the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And I just wish to God that we could get back to that. Amen. But we just like to have something we do.
Right.
We're synergists. We like to make, you know, that it's something that we can do to influence God, or our will can be God's will and put ourselves in God's place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that. It's not about you. It's about God.
All
about God. Nothing about you. Amen. And then he says here in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when you throw up, what do you mean endure hardness as a good soldier? Well, first of all, when a man is called into the service, he's drafted, he's called. And when God calls us, it's a summons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any choice.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come unless the Spirit of God draws him. That's for corroboration.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we come, and when God calls us in, what he does is we're grouped together.
Mm-hmm.
All the one. When people are called into the service, they all come in one big group.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's special to anything. You're all one group. Amen. And when they're called in, they got to be there whether they like it or not. Amen. And so what happens is that if you'll notice that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, and I want Ella to read that for us, please, from the Greek.
Galatians chapter 3.
Yes, verse 28.
Begin with the 28th verse. Again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There cannot be Jew nor Greek. There cannot be slave nor freeman. There cannot be male and female. For all ye one are in Christ Jesus.
So, when God calls us in, so what does he do? He said, there's not Jew or Gentile anymore. Amen. All right. And there cannot be slave or freeman. There cannot be male or female. For all ye are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse, we go back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's, I think it's verse 12. 12 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 12. Ella, would you read that for me, please?
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the 12th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For as the body one is and members many has, but all the members of the body, many, being one, is being one body, so also the Christ.
Amen. So we're all together in one body. Amen. Nobody is special. The head is Christ. Amen. And we are members of the body. And that means that we are in the body, functioning as a part of the body, and Christ is the head. Amen. So there's no special designation for you to go over the head. Amen. Wherever you are in the body, you're there. You've been placed there by God. Amen. So why is it that you feel like you've got to go further or around or be the head? There's only one head. Amen. My round head here is over my body. Amen. And my heart is not up here, or my tongue is not up here. My head is in control of the body. What happens here goes to the rest of my body. What happens with Christ is supposed to go through the rest of the body. But we don't like to see it that way. We like to be in charge ourselves. You see, once you get your priorities right, then it's easier to follow. Amen. When you get your priorities right, who you know who's the head, then it's easy to follow. But when you think that you are the one that's in charge, you're going to have problems. Amen. I wish I had somebody praying with me. Amen. Amen. And so what happens is we get into when you call in and you're not the same anymore. You group together. And you know what the service does? It takes everybody in there, and I'm not picking on Brother Hughes or anybody, but they take you, all this hair you have in your head, they take you, shave it all off. Everybody got shaved head. Why? Because everybody has a function. Amen. And the function is to do the will of the commander who's in charge. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody comes in there with a long afro and they say, well, I don't know, I'm going to keep my... No, you're going to shave your head. Amen. Oh, you don't see where I'm going. Amen. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, old, all things become new. When you call into the body, you should be a new person. Amen. Not the same old things that you were doing. Christ called you. Okay? And then what happens is, once you're called, well, there are some things that is going to happen. First of all, you got to get your priorities right. And then what you're going to do is they're going to drill you. And the drilling comes in that you can be a good minute man or a good serviceman. Amen. With the Christian, it ought to be study to show thyself an approved workman for God. Rightly dividing the word of truth, or in the Greek, cutting it straight. Amen. And be able to be like Peter says, be ready to give an answer for any man who asks you what is your faith and the hope of your calling. Amen. Most folks don't know anything about the Bible to go to church. Amen. They know very little about it. I'm appalled at the ignorance that people have of the Bible. Amen. And you know something? The thing that bothers me more than anything else is that they come in and they can sing better than anybody in church. They can pray better than anybody in church. But you ask them about the scriptures, they know nothing about it. Come on now, you all know what I'm talking about. And God didn't give us this word here to just throw it aside. I remember when I had been out to church for 7 years, and I came back, God used my wife to bring me back. I would take her to church every Sunday, and I would sit in the car, and then I'd go home and come back and pick her up. But things started to get bad financially. You know how we are. Once things started, the money, the pocket started to get, when money get hit, well, it's time to serve the Lord now. So, you know, that's what happened. But God used my wife to bring me back into the church. Amen. I've been out of church for 7 years. I don't think I even went to any funerals but weddings and funerals at that time. But you know something? When God brought me back, amen, and I will never will forget, when one day we were out, we were in Westland, and we went over to Inkster to try to find a church. And we saw a wino out the street. And this is true, Ella. This is true. This is true. And we said, we were looking for a church. And the church, the first man, he was still inebriated from the night before. And, well, you just go over there to Reverend Hinkle's church. We're up to Reverend Hinkle's church, and we got there, and we sat there, and we listened. And I was really impressed. And he came and he visited us. Amen. I didn't think he was going to do it, but he came in his business. And, you know, God used that man to bring me back into the fold of Christ. And I was so touched by the message that he gave that I came and I joined that church. And I was so happy to be back in the arms of God after being out for 7 years. This is a personal testimony. And that I was just, I was so on fire for the Lord. I was studying 3 or 4 hours a night when I got home from work. And I was just really caught up in it. And I was so happy that I was able to just get into the Word again because I had been away for so long. And I tell you, there's nothing like the Word of God. Amen. It is cool water for a dry soul. Amen. And whatever your need is, and the anything that you need in your life, God is there to give it to you through His Word. Amen. He knows what you need. And I tell you, I needed that at the time. I needed it, and I still need it every day. Amen. But the point that I'm trying to make is that he says in verse 4 that no man would entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Amen. You can't be in the world and in church also. Amen. You got to bring everything and just, and why? Why is that? Because you got to remember that you brought nothing into this world, and there's nothing you're going to carry out. Amen. Then you got to remember that we got to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. We got to have a refocus of where we were going and start focusing on the right thing. Amen. We put so much time, we spend so much time on nothing. Amen. All of us do. Amen. And you know what? The things that we spend a lot of time on, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. And you know something? We can talk about different things in our lives that really doesn't mean a thing. But our priority should be about God, should be about Christ. Amen? I look at the world and I get so sick and tired of the things, the priorities that people have things on the world. I could care less about O.J. Simpson or Michael Vick or anything else like that. Because those people are just like I am. They're going to what? Go to the bathroom. They're going to put on their foot at one time, shoe on one time, everything. Why are we concerned about this? Why? We got all these things that's happening here in the world, and this morally bankrupt. And what does the church spend its time on? How you can get over with God.
Right.
7 steps to success.
Right.
I expect the world to be that way. Amen. But the church ought to have a different message. Amen. It shouldn't be the same old mess that the world has. Amen. We shouldn't be preaching what they're preaching or teaching what they're teaching. Amen. When are we going to get to the point where we can proclaim God and the grace of God? I look at the pastor called him the parade, and it's... I just noticed some things more and more and more and more that we've brought hip hop into the church now. Hello? We've brought hip hop into the church. I noticed certain things that, and you know, the thing about it is when they when people bring things into the church that are not of God, one of the writers of the New Testament tells us that they came in unawares through the side. Amen. They didn't come the front way, because if we saw it in the front and it was blaring out, we would probably stop it right there. But we have an insidious way of getting something in that's false doctrine. And once it gets in and it takes hold, it's like a germ you can't get out of. Get it out.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
But the Bible tells us that judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. When are we going to take a stand for the mess that's going on? Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I get so sick of it, I don't know what to do.
Bless
you, Lord. Now, you got so one of the ministers said on TV that, you know, you got the power to even stop the weather.
Oh, Lord.
Never, everything and anything. And people say that, and they stand up there taking notes and everything. What's wrong with these people? But I have to just say, like the pastor said, if you don't know, if God hadn't given to you, then, you know, you just... But it's a sad state that we're in now. Amen. We are in the body of Christ, and the message should be about Christ. It shouldn't be about anybody else or anything but Christ. Amen. Not anybody about what we're doing, anything like that. It should be about Christ. Amen. Christ and Christ alone.
That's it. Amen.
Amen. Christ and only Christ.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
If we spend as much time about Christ as we do about people being baptized a certain way, how much farther would we be? If we spent the time talking about Christ and the grace of God as much as we do about our denomination, how much further would we be? We talk about things that don't mean a hill of beans, and we'll put that to the forefront. Jesus is the only thing that should be preached in the church. Nothing else. And he's the only one should be taught in the church. Part of the problem is we don't know who we are. We're the body of Christ. The Bible lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 and 3 that we're not only going to judge the world, but we're going to judge angels. And a lot of us don't even realize that. Amen. As carnal as those Corinthians were, Paul had to tell them, you really don't know who you are.
All right. That's it. Amen. Preach it. Thank God.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
And you're able to judge because of the righteousness of Christ, not of your own.
Hallelujah.
It's awfully quiet here. I hope I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. Thing is that about the being in the service of the Lord is that they that are godly, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, they that are godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. This is not something that's a plaything. Amen. This is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of it because it's going to happen sooner or later. And all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. So it doesn't matter who you are, if you are a child of God, somewhere along the way, you're going to suffer persecution.
Yeah.
I never will forget when I was a textbook salesman, God had allowed me to go beyond all of the salespeople in the country. And I was really riding high. And my manager came to see me, and he talked to me, and exactly 2 weeks later, they let me go from the job. I lost anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 in bonuses. But it was the will of God. Amen. I never got over that. I've gotten over it now. But exactly 2 months later, that young man who did that died of a hemorrhage in his bed. So the thing about it is, and I'm sure that Elder Liverman and D. Deacon Gavin, he talks about the bonus of four and everything. We all could relate to things like that.
Yes, sir.
So, I have witnessed to him while he was here about that he needed to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. 2 weeks later, he had me fired. Because I really did come down how I talked to him about being saved, salvation. And 2 weeks later, exactly, I was fired from my job. We are hated in the world. The world does not love us. And we should realize that we are ambassadors for Christ. This is not our home. Don't get so settled here that it's your home. Amen. Our job is to be an ambassador to proclaim Jesus Christ. And when an ambassador is someplace, he's in a foreign land, and his home is not in Russia. He's an ambassador from the United States. He's there. And he deals with the things in Russia, but his home is in America. Our home is in heaven. We have a home that's a body prepared for us right now, waiting on us, and it's there, but we just haven't, we're not there yet. And our affection should be for the things above and
yes,
not on things of this earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
The world is going to be the world, whether we like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see the foolishness and everything, run rampant and everything, and all the misplaced priorities, but it's going to be the world. It's the world.
Yes.
What do you expect?
Yes.
It's depravity. Mm-hmm. Unchecked. I'm only checked by God. So don't fall in love with this place. It has nothing to offer you. But on the other hand, we have Christ. And we got everything. We don't need anything else. We got you. When you got Jesus, you got everything. And our job as members who have been committed this thing by what Paul has given us, we should be able to tell folks in the church when things are going right or going wrong and not be afraid and stand up for the grace of God. Paul let those Corinthians know when they were doing wrong. Amen. Those Galatians, when they got their gospels mixed up, Paul let them know.
Yes.
Some of, you know,
amen,
different, and then he let the Ephesians know who they were.
Thank you.
And he didn't back down. Now we've got hip-hop choirs, illustrated sermons, all kinds of mess going on in the church that call the church. Am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself? Isn't nobody outraged about where Christ has been put? Put in the back. Now we got, so if you're not baptized a certain way and said a sinner's prayer in a certain way, you're not saved. What kind of mess is that?
Right.
No baptism is going to be putting you into heaven. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one spirit we've all been baptized. One body. You separate and putting it outside there. You're not baptized in my denomination, you're not going to heaven.
Right.
What kind of foolishness is that?
Amen.
Where's the outrage? And you know, we sit there and we just take it going on and on and on. Somebody ought to say something about it. Somebody ought to let folks know it's wrong. And you know what? We've been bullied by these guys and bullied and bullied. Somebody ought to be willing to die for the truth. The Apostle Paul was. But you know what? We're there and we just let folks run over us and they're going to say what they want to say and everything. But we ought to be able to stand up for what we believe. And that's the grace of God.
Great. Glory to God.
Brother Wallace said something to me a couple of weeks ago. I never will forget. He said, you know, hooping is not the thing now. Now it's philosophy. We moved over to philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
How to do this and how to do that. I don't know where we're going, but it's not going the right way. Leotards and dancers in the choir, in the churches and everything, doesn't make any sense.
Give no occasion to the flesh. It's bad enough seeing these kids like they are, and like L. Levin, I told Pastor that they had to, and Sister Rose, the one talking about, they had to bring in uniforms because everybody had to be the same. The dress code had gotten so people come and look in any kind of way. Amen? Now we bring it into the church. The world, you expect that. But you bring it into the church and everybody, yeah, I was really, what kind of mess is that? I just have to vent from my heart today because I'm outraged. And prosperity messages. Deuteronomy 28, that doesn't have anything to do with you. I'm going on, cause y'all, I want you to turn to, we don't have it in the Greek, but I want you to turn with me in the King James Version because it's from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts there, that very familiar passage of scripture with those who study the Word of God. Acts 20, 20th chapter. The 27th verse to the 33rd verse. And Ella, would you read that for me, please?
Acts chapter 20.
Verse 27.
Verse beginning with the 27th verse. Again, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. For I kept not back, not to declare all the counsel of God to you.
Okay. I have not, in the King James Version, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Hello.
Amen. Go ahead, Elder.
All the counsel of God to you. Verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock and watch you the Spirit.
Okay.
The Spirit holy, place overseers to shepherd the church of God which he acquired through the blood of his own.
Okay. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all of the flock. Amen? All right. Over which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Has made you what? Overseers. Amen? To feed the church of God. The job of the pastor is to feed the church. Amen? And to feed them the correct food. Amen? And the food is the Word of God, the greatest gospel. That's what he's supposed to feed you. Amen. Not anything else but the grace of God, what the Apostle Paul and the 14 epistles. Now, we can talk about the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, but it's for corroboration's sake. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ella. So he's a feed, which is what? He purchased with his own blood. It's all about Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Yes. This is what I like. He says, well, I know that after my departing, that grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. If Paul said that in his day, 2,000 years ago, where are we at today? Well, I'll tell you where we are. Go with me to the book of Revelation. In the chapter 3, verse 14. The Laodicean church. And I'm going to let Ella read that while I get it there. Yeah. Go ahead.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the messenger of the in Laodicea church write you, these things saith the Amen, the witnesses, faithful and true, the chief of the creations of God. I know of thee the works, that neither cold art thou nor hot. I would thou cold thou wast or hot.
Hold right there. What do we have today in churches? They're just as shallow as can be. They're neither cold nor hot. You can't get a good hot message of grace anywhere hardly. But you can get about other things. Go ahead, Elder.
So, because lukewarm thou art, and neither hot nor cold, I am thee to vomit out of the mouth of me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because thou sayest, rich I am, and I have become rich.
Stop right there. Now it's about how big your church is and how much it costs. A brother in the message. You don't have a church to go in where you're going to preach the grace of God. You go in and preach programs. And you got to have enough programs for the people for them to come. Because if you got the wrong program, they're not coming. If you're preaching one message about grace and the grace of God, you're going to have a flock about this size. Amen. But if you say you're going to preach programs, well, you got 127 ministries, then you got the whole church packed out. Amen. And you got a 15-minute message at best. Amen. But you got about all other things that don't mean a hill of beans that's concentrated on. That's where we are today. Go ahead, Elder.
Big 17. Because thou sayest, rich I am, and I have become rich, and no need I have, and knowest not that thou art the one wretched, and pitiable, and poor, and blind, and naked.
Why? Because they left the grace of God. And that's what happens when you leave the grace of God. You're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. Amen? I wish I had somebody praying with me. That's what has become to the 20th century church. We're preaching everything but grace. And I'm angry. We have Friday night down and we've got a Bible class and the pastor goes through the word. We go through it and we have so much fun. I said, would to God we have 50, 60, 100, 10, 1,000 people to hear the goodness of the word. We only have 3 or 4 people. That's a shame before God. People can find things to do, anything to do, but come and hear the word of God. Or study the word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself and approve working for God. Rightly dividing the word or cutting it straight. What is it about God that we don't want to hear from? You know what? Because we're afraid to hear what His will is. It's all right for us to come and say this and this and that, but it's the will of God or something like that. We don't want to hear that. And the Word gives us His will. But we don't want to hear that. I just think about the fact that And let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4 as we come to a close. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4.
Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. Proclaim the word. Be attentive seasonably, unseasonably reprove, admonish, exhort.
Hold it right there. Hold it, Elder. The word is always in season, but it's out of season when we preach it because they don't want to hear it. But the word is always in season. Go ahead, Elder.
Seasonably, unseasonably, reprove, admonish, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Verse 3, for there will be a time when the being healthy teaching, they will not bear with.
And that's the time we are right now. The time, the King James says, there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. People want to hear everything else but about what? Glorification, sanctification, perpetuation, and all the Asians. They don't want to hear that. But they want to hear a bunch of mess. And so therefore, they'll find people to teach them that mess and rather than hear the sound word of God. Go ahead, Elder.
But according to their own lust, to themselves, they would heap up teachers tickling the ear.
Tickling the ear.
And from, on the other hand, the truth, the ear would turn away.
Amen.
And on the other hand, the tails would be turned aside.
Amen. So what you have is, so Paul warned them in tears about things like this was going to happen. This reinforces what he says here, that the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine or healthy teaching. The things that they the very things that they need, they'll turn away from it. Now, would you say that that is correct today? Could I have an amen on that? I don't hear you.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say it loud enough for you. They have left the teachings that Paul has given us for us to learn. As I come to a close and I go to my seat to sit down, I thank God for you and all of you that are around here. And I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for Deacon Gavin and Elder Liverman. I remember what Elder Liverman said one night, and I never will forget. Thank God for knowledge. And for what I see people doing on TV, this ministers and everything, I don't know where that term root hog is concerned, but I couldn't see myself prostituting the word of God like these guys are doing it. It's sheer folly, the things that they teach on TV. It's a shame before God. They talk about world evangelism and Israel and everything and all kinds of different things and everything, but nobody, I haven't seen a grace message on TV yet. In all of the years I've been watching, I have not seen a grace message to this day. Not a true grace message. Oh, they'll jump into Paul, but they'll jump right out. Amen? But I thank God for you. I thank God for my pastor. And I thank God for people who really come to this church and want to hear the word of God. And I just like to say that my course and your courses are different. Amen. Mine has taken me to the youth home, to out home shelters, and teaching with Troy Allen for 19 years and all those different things. But that's not a pat on my back. It's the grace of God, what he inspired me to do.
I had nothing to do with it. But I'm sure that you have aspects in your ministry God has worked with you on also. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to be thankful for what God has given us. Amen. I don't know where this country is going to, but I don't like where it's going. But I like the grace of God, because that's the only thing that can solve the work of this country. 18 years ago, I started in the school system. The kids were bad then, and Elder Liberman can tell you, and Sister Rose can tell you, that the kids now are 10 times worse than they were. 10 times worse today than they were 18 years ago. Am I lying, Elder? It's bad. And things are going to get bad and getting worse and worse. I've never seen things like they are right now. And I'm just praying to God that when it's all said and done, when God does take us out of this place, and He will, surely will, I won't miss it, because I'm going to a better place. And I thank God for Jesus Christ. The message I want to leave with you today is that be a good soldier and stand up for the Lord. Don't let anybody intimidate you about the grace of God. And for Christ's sake, we ought to be happy to give the grace of God, because it's been passed down from Paul to us. I thank God for your listening to me today, and I hope that something the Holy Spirit has given you that was touched your heart today. God bless you.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory.